pray real quick. Father, bless this time. Lord, bless the message today. Bless any words that be spoken. And Father, we pray that those words that be spoken be from your heart. Amen. Let's start with a couple of thoughts before the message, I think. In Luke, chapter 19, and starting in verse 12, before we get there, the Word of God says His Word will judge us. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Be followers of me, he said. He was talking as a pastor. He was talking in the position of his office and his calling, not in the position of a man. But in the position of an office and a calling. We are called to a specific church. We are called to a specific pastor. And God says that when He gives us this call, that we are to follow. But just as a principle, because principles keep our lives according to the way that God would have them go. And it is when I depart from the precepts of God that I depart from God's way. When you hear the Word of God, be careful how you hear. There are people who hear the Word of God spoken and they take it as though it is the word of a man. But Paul said you did not hear it as the word of a man. You heard it as the Word of God. And those believers who hear the Word of God, albeit spoken by the tongue of a man, hear the Word of God. I think the prophets were a very good example of this. Ezekiel, for example, God said, Son of Man. And He addressed the man to speak the Word. And the Word was given by men. Or better yet, by means of men. Because it is one thing to have a relationship with God in a vertical sense, whereby I can stand before God and I receive from Him directly, and certainly every believer is to have that as part of their walk with God. That should be fundamental in their life. And that is all important. But God wants us to hear His Word through the lips of a man. And the reason is because it requires humility for a person to do that. This is why only the humble will hear. The proud person will not hear. The proud person will say, oh, the words of a man reflecting on God's Word. No, not if the man who is doing the speaking is being led by the Spirit. If that man is led and filled by the Holy Spirit, and if he is preaching the Word of God, then it is not the Word of a man. It is the mind of God. It is the leading of the Holy Spirit for that particular group of people at that particular time. I can never say that I heard something before, because I haven't. If I believe that I have heard something before, then I have become familiar with God's Word. Familiarity is the sin of presumption. It is the great sin in the Christian church. Familiarity says, oh, I know, oh, I heard, oh, I have done this, I have been there. When the Word of God is fresh for the moment, and therefore familiarity will prevent a believer from receiving God's Word in its freshness that it is delivered in, thinking, oh, I have heard this before. Have you? Have you lived this moment before? Have you heard from the Spirit of God before? You see, in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the Spirit speaks to the man of God, the angel Aglos, the messenger for the churches. And certainly the Spirit speaks to the individual believer before him also. But in the congregation, and David delighted in the congregation, and God delighted in David, in the congregation, the Holy Spirit speaks through the man of God who is anointed. Now, it is one thing to be in a congregation where the man is not anointed and where the Holy Spirit is not speaking. And this is not a congregation that I will be called to. But, on the other hand, it is another thing when the Holy Spirit is moving. And I must discern the difference. And when the Holy Spirit is moving, I need to know how to hear the Word of God being spoken. Well, the first thing that I do, and first and foremost, is I always hear ears with ears that are ears of the heart of God. I hear through God's heart. I hear through grace. I hear through mercy. Unless I hear through grace, and unless I hear through mercy, I have not heard anything. I have heard words spoken, but I have not heard through God's character. And only when I hear through God's character will I receive God's message, will that be imparted to me. But when I receive God's message, that is the transforming word that builds my soul and conforms me to the image of Christ. When I hear and the speaker is anointed, then it is God who is speaking through the man. Not the inspired word as He did to the apostles and to the prophets who wrote the canon of Scripture. That's not what I mean. It is the inspired application of the word. For the moment, and as I hear, the Holy Spirit comes and He ministers the word spoken to my heart. And as He does that, I receive a portion from God. When conviction comes, I receive it in grace. Now, there are two things that frequently happen, and a third that also happens. Two things that happen are, first, people will hear conviction, look at themselves and say, God, is this me? Oh, where am I lining up with this? Where am I going wrong related to this? And they become introspective. And so they try to apply the conviction by themselves to their own heart. And when they do that, they get perhaps nice and condemned, or they get into a works program whereby they try to live up to the conviction they heard. It doesn't work. That's not the transforming Word of God. On the other hand, I can hear conviction and push it aside and say something like, his opinion, or it's for this person. And if I do that, again, I have not heard. And I have received nothing. Now, the way that I hear through grace is to let the Holy Spirit prick my heart. If conviction is preached, I do not get condemned because condemnation is not from God. Why is it that conviction is preached? Conviction is preached for the building of the body of Christ. Because just like any other child, the child of God needs to be taught. And God teaches His children. And God will teach us the way that we should go, and that is conviction. I receive conviction in humility when conviction comes. I do not receive it in condemnation, nor do I receive it in accusation. I simply receive it in humility as something that God speaks to my heart. And if the conviction doesn't pertain to me, then fine. Then I receive an edification, knowing in my heart that this is something that is spoken, that is reinforcing and building the fact that I am a child of God being led by the Spirit in my everyday life. But if the conviction does pertain to me, and I will know that it does because the Holy Spirit will speak it to my heart, and when He does, I can either accept it or reject it, but rejecting it is not a good idea, because then God will not quit, so to speak. You see, God cares too much about me. God loves me too much to just let it go. So when conviction is heard, I receive it in humility, and I make an adjustment in grace. And I don't get condemned, I get corrected. I don't reject it, I accept it, but in grace. It is not because I am wicked, it is because I am His child that I have been convicted. You see, God corrects, chastises the ones He loves. It is impossible to be a child of God and never be convicted. If I am never convicted, then I question if I am a child of God. Personally, if I am never convicted, I get nervous. If I go too long without being convicted, I get nervous. And the reason is because I know very well that I am a human. I know very well that there is no good thing in me. I know very well that my heart is faint and my head is sick. So if with a sick heart, sick head, faint heart, no good thing in me, I am not convicted, I am nervous. And I wonder, where is the conviction? There are pastors to whom people flock because they have itching ears. It's not the pastor that has itching ears. The pastor has other things going on, who will not preach conviction. A godly pastor, albeit not all the time, only once in a while, will preach against sin, will preach against fornication and adultery, will preach against those things that are against the character of God. Because the godly pastor is an under-shepherd operating in the authority and leading of the chief shepherd, shepherding the flock of God. But the godly pastor will look for trends in the body of Christ, take them to God, and then as God leads, he will speak. Do not be condemned when you are convicted. Condemnation is a projection from the enemy or a projection from your flesh. One or the other. You see, either I have been well ingrained and indoctrinated into a religious mindset so that my heart will condemn me, or the enemy will take care of it for me. So reject condemnation, because Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation, and the word condemnation means judgment of guilt. God is not proclaiming you guilty or innocent. God has already done that. God has proclaimed you cleansed. What God is doing is He is teaching. It is like being in school, learning a new subject, and I say, I don't like what the teacher is teaching me today, therefore I will feel bad about who I am as a student. Or, I do not yet have this perfected, therefore I will feel bad as a student. You know what? That is silly. The day that we are perfected is the day that we are in heaven. So let's just not go there, to this condemnation place, because it is silly. Condemnation is not of God. Don't be condemned. If you get projections, regardless of where they come from your own heart or from the atmosphere of condemnation, cast down every high thing that exalts itself above Jesus Christ, because condemnation is a way of exalting something above Jesus Christ. It is a religious mindset. We are not condemned. There is no condemnation. When I hear the Word of God, I hear it in grace, purely. Even though I may get fried, I hear it in grace, because I am being fried by the one who laid down his life for me. You see, the Holy Spirit is a burning fire, and the Word of God is a sword. If I am being dealt with by God, it may sting, but it does not kill. It brings life. It reminds me, in a kind of a simple way, it reminds me of when I get a cut and I pour something on it to clean that cut. It stings, but it protects. John said that the Word of God was sweet in his mouth, but bitter in his belly. The scroll he ate was sweet. The words are sweet, but the emotions don't necessarily like it. Because the flesh needs to be dealt with, because we are human beings. And we have a flesh as a component of our physical bodies. It is passed down in our genes, and it is a physical component of our body. And seeing as how we have more than a trillion cells, each with a full copy of our genetics, we've got a lot of opportunity for flesh, for the old sin nature to come through. So the fact that I have a flesh, the fact that I may fail, is not cause for condemnation. It is cause for my realization of my need for my Savior. And that is all. I don't get condemned. I get taught. When you hear the Word of God, hear it as the Word of God. If you hear it as the Word of man, then you are not hearing it in humility. When you hear the Word of God, hear it as the Word of God. Look for something. There was a pastor, John Rice, I think it was. He was speaking as a guest speaker for a week. And he spoke on the same verse every single day. And they asked him, why did you do this? Why did you speak about the same thing? He said, because it's not here. And so the Holy Spirit brought it to teach something new. Although they have heard the words, they never heard the meaning. It never penetrated the heart. It never changed who they are. They simply heard words. If all I hear is words, then I have not heard anything. But if I hear the heart of God, if I hear the Holy Spirit, then I have heard something that gives life. You see, this is where I find my life as a believer. This is where I learn to live. Not to walk only. It doesn't start with walking. It starts with living. After I live, I will walk. That is one of the characteristics of the people who have God's life in them. But if I try to walk without being alive in my spirit, and when I mean alive in my spirit, I mean the life of God. I don't mean the life of the flesh. If I try to walk apart from that, then I'm just stumbling and I'm meandering, but I'm not walking. A lot of people talk about a Christian walk, but they don't have God's life. If I don't have God's life, then I have no Christian walk. Say, have you seen a dead man walking? They don't do that. They lay in the ground and rot. This is what happens to the believer who does not receive the life of God, to whom conviction is simply one, a case of condemnation, or two, a case of somebody's opinion. It is not either one of those. It is the teaching of God to a human child who needs to learn the ways of the Lord. Humility has to precede my hearing, because if I don't have humility, I cannot hear. Meekness must precede my hearing also, because if I do not have meekness, I will not be taught. What is meekness and what is humility? Well, really, they are the same thing with a different object. Humility is my attitude towards a person. Meekness is a humility towards God. Humility is when I agree with God. Well, how is that my attitude towards a person? Because I live in a world with people. And when I agree with God about those people, about myself, about my circumstances, when I walk in that agreement, then I am a humble person. Humility is not self-effacement. Humility is not seeing myself as less than. How can I be less than when I am seated as a king on the throne of God with Christ at God's right hand? How can I be less than when God Himself calls me royalty? We are, after all, a royal priesthood. We are royalty. So, how can I be less than when God said that even the least of the believers are greater than any of the Old Testament prophets, the last one of which was John the Baptist? So how can I be less than? I cannot. The most backslidden believer, as long as he is born again, is seated above in heavenly places, perfectly accepted in the Beloved, bride of Christ, cleansed by the blood, with an inheritance in heaven. And the kingdom is given to him. How can I be less than? I cannot. Less than is a projection. Less than is an attempt by the enemy to change my identity from who I am to who he would like me to believe I am, so that I would be incapacitated to function in the kingdom of God. That is what less than is all about. I am not less than. I am humble. Big difference. The humble person will have the best self-identity in the world, because he will receive from God and agree with Him. And he will agree with the things that God says about him. Oh, now I'm condemned about not being humble. Hello, why don't you humble yourself and stop looking inward? Oh, by the way, the person who spends their life looking at themselves is a person who will never receive love. I cannot do that. Only when I look apart from myself, away from myself, only then will I receive love. When you hear the Word of God, hear it with humility and grace. Do not be condemned if a conviction should come. God isn't condemning, He is teaching. If conviction comes, it is coming from the Holy Spirit, the great Comforter. If it pricks your heart, if it convicts you, let it convict. You are a human being, and we human beings need to be taught, because we are not perfect. We do not see God face to face. We need to be taught. And even Adam, who was perfect, God came into the garden every day and taught him. This is why he was walking in the garden, saying, "Adam, where art thou?" Hear the Word of God the way that the Word of God is given. You see, the enemy can take the Word of God and use it against you. But then you have to leave the premise of grace. And grace is God's mode of operation. Love is who God is. Mercy is the essence and the manifestation of His character. Kindness is the way He functions. Patience is His attitude. Hear things as they are in truth. Do not waste your time with anything else. But receive from God that which God has to give. Anyway, that's just a thought